You're listening to a podcast from 702.
Clement Maniatella
on 702.
Let's walk the talk on 92.7
and 106 FM.
Six minutes after 9 o'clock. Dumelang, welcome to the show. It's Monday, the 14th of June. It's great to have you with us here on 702 and walking the talk with us. How was your weekend? I hope you were keeping safe and I hope you're good this morning. Let's kick off the show with the 702 open line, right? 011-883-0702. That's the number you should start dialing right now if you want to set the agenda and raise any issue on your mind this morning. The WhatsApp line is 072-702-1702. The SMS line is 31702.
702.
Let's walk the talk.
011-883-0702. That's the number you should call for you to raise any issue on your mind this morning. 31702 is the SMS line. The WhatsApp line is 072-702-1702. Do any of you have relatives in Ladysmith in KwaZulu-Natal? Or maybe you live there. I saw that the villagers there dropped what they're doing. They grabbed their picks and shovels and climbed to the hilltop. And what were they looking for? Diamonds, right? The community announced that they had found diamonds. So when the diamond rush started on Wednesday, only the locals were involved, but apparently people then soon started coming from other towns to join in the dig for what they believe are real diamonds. In fact, just listen to this. This is the sound of them literally busy there searching for these diamonds. So that is the sound of community members literally digging there. You must go check out the videos. And the councillor in the community said it's really hard to stop people from digging because they believe this is actually their ticket out of poverty. And that speaks to the desperation, right? The desperation to get out of poverty. So these people now are digging and they believe these are real diamonds. They don't want municipal or national representatives to come near because they believe they'll sell them out if they discover the diamonds are actually real. If you've been following this up, please give us a call. Or maybe you're from the area, right? Maybe you've got relatives in that area. What have they been telling you? 011-883-0702. It's 11 after 9.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Maniatella
on 702.
Malebo, you are calling us from the N12. You're on the road. Good morning.
Yes, I am. Initially, but I'll go back to my most critical point, most pertinent point that made me to call you.
Yeah.
But the diamond rush,
yeah.
Look, the authorities would, because of the MPRDA, should they be validated as diamond, the Mineral Petroleum Resources Development Act will take precedence, and whether they like it or not, there will have to be some level of structure that goes up, you know, in terms of, you know, mining and all that. But then we'll see how the story develops.
Mm. Oh, that's interesting, Malebo. Just sorry for coming in there. So what would it mean then? If they discover then that these are real diamonds, would they have to take them back? Is there a body then that comes in to deal with the diamond rush? What would it mean for those that have already dug and found these diamonds, if really they're real?
You cannot illegally sell diamonds. That is why there's the Department of Minerals and Energy Resources, who are the regulators, and that is why you've got diamond boards. And that is why we have the Diamond Amendment Act, which was preceded by the Mineral Resources Petroleum Development Act. So that is a mining. If they find out that it's mine and they continue to do that, that will be tantamount to illegal mining.
Mm.
So what the department will, but what the department would, they will take into cognizance the fact that it belongs to the community. So they would give them first point of, preference. They will, if any level of authority was to come there, it will be to, to make sure and validate if it's diamond. And if that is the case, there will have to be a registered community trust fund of sorts. So that goes, that goes to them because it's in their land and they will be able to find it.
Yeah. Oh, thanks. Thank you so much for...
And you've got the Department of Minerals Energy, KZN.
Yeah, that's great.
They will come and address. And they are coming to address, not to, stop them from mining, but also to help them to formalize and then go into formal mining.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Because it will be compromised to illegal mining.
Yeah, that's interesting, Malawi. And thank you so much for just clarifying and helping us understand what the law actually says. Should these be validated and found to be real diamonds? All right, what did you want to talk about this morning?
Now, the last part of the bulletin, your bulletin, was around June 16 and meaning being dissipated over time.
Mm.
It's not only that, unfortunately. The history of South Africa post-democracy or leading to democracy, actually, has got a body of rich evidence, and information and, knowledge of, the events that led to the democracy that we are enjoying today. The one thing that we are failing to do is that we are poor at recording history. I cannot understand why my child still has to learn about the history that is more Eurocentric.
Yeah.
That is so foreign to him. When we've got such a body of, information that can be converted into the history that is so relevant to us. So until we said, I remember Minister Ayanda Jodo did raise it, has been raising it for the last 8 years or so, but there hasn't been any movement around that. So until, possibly the Department of Education leads, the process and the dialogue and say that we've got so much that can actually be taught in our schools.
Absolutely.
But then our June 16th shouldn't just disappear. It was just not another event. It's the event that ensured that I am not taught in Afrikaans.
Mm.
It's the event that I was liberated as a student then, though I was very young at that point. And it was a preceding case of sorts to our actual liberation.
Mm.
So we shouldn't. The next thing would be saying, things like when we first started to vote, it's an obsolete thing. It simply because then we're lazy to write, we are lazy to record. So we should go back to basics as Africans and record and document.
And history, and I would argue history is already recorded, Malebo. It's already documented. We just need to bring it into the curriculum. I know the Minister of Education, Angel Motshekga, I think it was a year or 2 years ago, announced a panel that was going to review the curriculum to ensure that we tell African stories more and it's not so much positioned in taking that Eurocentric approach. I don't know how far that panel is, and maybe I'll check in with the department how far that panel is, and when can we start actually seeing the curriculum change to actually reflect our history?
My child is in grade 5. The only justice that they make to our history is a quarter of a page where they are taught about the late Tata Mandela, and that's it.
That's not enough.
It's not at all.
We need to tell our stories, right? We need to tell our stories. And we've got our heroes, right? We've got our heroes as well. We've got so much history. Like, we need to tell the story of the tenacity of the African people. And it really boggles my mind, by the way, that the education department is only waking up now recently and to see how Eurocentric the curriculum is. Right? Only now, over 25 years later. And let's hope that panel is going to do the work very quickly and we're going to see a change in what our children are being taught in school. Malebo, thank you for raising that on the 702 open line this morning. Any thoughts on what Malebo is saying? 011-883-0702. Is it Vena who's calling from Midrand? Hello, Vena.
Hey, Clement, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I just want to say that I've been homeschooling my kids for the last 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And as a homeschooling family, we have the choice of what we want to teach them. Yes, I teach them caps like they would have learned in school, but I can also teach them about my country. I'm disappointed when...
Oops, sorry, Vena, we were losing you there. Please repeat that. You said you can also teach them what?
While I'm teaching them caps, I also have the choice of what else I'd like to teach them when it comes to history.
Okay.
And I'm always so disappointed when you guys invite someone to speak about homeschooling, and then we find out it's not really about homeschooling. It's a company that's basically pushing their products and the curriculum that they'd like to homeschoolers. Mm. And then really someone truly homeschools their kids when you guys invite people to come and speak about homeschooling.
Oh.
And I think that the South African system can learn so much from homeschooling. So many of us with various different curriculums that we could teach our kids. Some of us even formulate and make our own curriculum.
Is that allowed,
that we
Vena?
Teach our children.
Yeah, so what is that allowed? What limitations do you have? So if you're homeschooling children, help me understand here. If you're homeschooling children, are you... So is it expected that you use the curriculum that's already available? Or as you say, you're saying you can even, you know, formulate your own curriculum. What are the limitations? Because I imagine you can't just teach them anything.
What I'm going to tell you is what we personally do in our home school. Because my kids live in South Africa, I'm kind of forced to teach them CAPS. Okay?
Yeah.
CAPS is not the only curriculum that there is, but I'm going to tell you about what we do. We're doing CAPS so that if anything should happen to me tomorrow, my kids should be able to go into a normal government school if it needs to happen.
Mm.
But that's not all I need to teach my kids. I teach them what's in the textbook for South Africa, but I can also put in South African history that applies to us. You understand?
Mm.
So there's more that I can teach them than they would have learned in school. And from what I found is, in particular history, my kids can do one term of history in a month. So that means that after 4 months, they've done the whole textbook. What happens for the other months that's left of the year?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's interesting. Vena, thank you for calling in. And if you've tried homeschooling as well, like Vena, and you're not using the company for that, tell us what your experiences have been and how do you approach the issue of curriculum. Maybe you want to comment about the call we got earlier from, is it Malebo, who was talking about the need for us to change our curriculum. The approach must not be Eurocentric. We need to tell our stories and document more. And I would argue history has been documented. The records are there. We just need to have the bravery to prioritize that kind of education to our children. And also, we're talking about this diamond rush in Ladysmith in KwaZulu-Natal. I see the KZN government has responded. They are calling for order amid reports of a, quote-unquote, diamond rush in Kwahlati near Ladysmith. So the KZN government has now responded. I want to take your calls if you've got relatives there or maybe you live there. Malebo helped us understand what the law actually says. Should this be verified? And it's verified as diamonds. There are so many limitations. The community just can't go on a rampage and continue digging and selling them because that is illegal. Let's talk about that as well on the 702 open line. It's 22 minutes after 9.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyatela
on 702.
25 minutes after 9 o'clock, it's the 702 open line. Your calls are coming through on 011-883-0702. Let's go to Protea Glen now. Ali, good morning.
How are you?
Good, good. How are you doing?
I'm well. I'm speaking to Ali. I just want to comment on the president's frustration around young people's ignorance on the June 16 and our June 16 history.
Mm-hmm.
What I want to say is, the youth of 76 is the people that are in government today. people that lead us. And some of them are entrepreneurs, people that have businesses in our community. I think the thing that young people have is what these people, these leaders that way youth in 1976 are doing for the community or not doing for them. I don't think young people are ignorant. I just think people are, young people are more frustrated. I mean, we see riots and all these things that are happening in our communities, people expressing their frustration against our government that used to be used in 1976. That's all I want to say.
All right. So you're saying it's more people being frustrated. I hear you, Ali. I thank you for calling in. Do you agree with Ali there? And that it's not that, you know, they are ignorant, but it's also just due to the inaction of the, you know, post-76 leaders. I want to hear your thoughts on that, please. Trevor, you are calling us from Sandton. Good morning.
Hi, Clement.
Hi.
Hi, it's Trevor here.
Sure.
Clement, you know, just earlier, a caller, you come in your conversation and just commenting on history and how it's taught in schools.
Yeah.
So I had some comments around that. Now, just interesting, two things that have happened to me personally recently is, one, I'm reading a book called Fortunes of Africa, and it's a deep history of the continent going right back. And what is interesting is that what we're taught is there's not enough time at school to teach us history. There just really isn't. We have to pick and choose. So absolutely, we need to pick the best of the best. And what's important about history, though, is that when we're learning it, is that we learn it with an open mind. The idea with history is not to try and change it, rewrite it.
Yeah.
It's to learn from it and not repeat it. That is key. It's to have a mature mind, which is very difficult when you're obviously teaching a younger mind. And then, you know, one of the things that for me was just the slave trade, and that how were slaves gathered on the west coast of Africa? Fascinating. That there were two parties to this, and that opened up my mind a whole lot of different things. That it wasn't just a European slave trader. There were African slave traders to different degrees of brutality and all sorts of things.
The
second thing is the mature mind. I have 8-year-old boys, and on the way to school the other day, one of them was taking a children's version of The Long Walk to Freedom to school for show and tell. And we were having a discussion in the car, and it kind of got deep very quickly and caught me off guard. And I was like, well, the kids, they're at a government school, and they talk about brown people and peach people. And they said to me, yeah, Mr. Mandela was put in jail because peach people thought that brown people were evil. So I said to them, and do you think it was all the peach people, some of the peach people? Do you think brown people are evil? And I said, you know, the other thing that peach people thought was that brown people weren't capable of doing things. Well, my one kid lost the plot. Look at that person sitting on the side of the road, he says to me. That poor. He says, Dad, do you see how brown people find things, make things, and then sell them? He says, I don't see peach people doing that. And I looked at this lot and I thought to myself, wow, these 8-year-olds, they see the world so differently to what we had. Their information overload because of the internet, their access to things is so different. And it's fascinating. And I think that we must teach history. We've got to teach it to the best. There's not enough time to teach it all. And we have to just teach it with an open and mature mind.
Absolutely.
And I think, you know, everybody benefits, both sides of that.
Oh, that's so interesting, Trevor. We once had a discussion on Family Matters on this show about talking to kids about racism. Right, and talking to kids just about our history and race relations, so that we need to have these conversations with them. Otherwise, the internet takes over and they start learning outside. Thanks for calling us, Trevor. Trevor calling us about his personal... Sorry, Trevor, before I let you go, what's the name of that book? I want to check it out. The Fortunes of Africa.
Fortunes of Africa. I can't think of the author right now.
It's okay. I'll check it out. Yeah, I would like to read it. Fortunes of Africa. Thank you so much, man, Trevor. I went to Zanzibar last year, just before COVID hit. I was on holiday and I went to, is it Stone City? Right? In Zanzibar, Stone City. Stone Town. And I was learning about the slave trade. I admit I should have taken that trip to Stone Town probably on the second last day of my holiday. I went right in the middle of it, and it was just so heavy learning about the slave trade and how even some you know, on the continent, Africans were involved in that, as Trevor was saying there. So I'm really looking forward to reading Fortunes of Africa. I'm going to check it out.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyathela
on 702.
Oh my goodness, what's happening there? The parents have gathered at a school. Are we able to take that live a little bit? There are parents outside school, they're fighting. You can see there are white parents on the other side, there are black parents from the other side, and they've just been exchanging blows. We're going to take Newsroom Africa live just for a couple of minutes so we can get a sense of what's happening there. My goodness, so this is in Witbank. The black parents are protesting about racism. But you can see there that the white parents have also come to the protest. And they were just exchanging blows now. Some of them have got these cricket bats. Like they've got cricket bats. And it doesn't look like there's enough security presence there. My goodness, let's listen in a little bit.
Live scenes, live visuals, I should say, coming outside of a technical college in Mpumalanga, that's in the area of Emalahleni. This whole issue sparked on Tuesday by a fight between a black learner and a white learner. Now, what seems to have exacerbated the situation is that the black learner, who is alleged to have been involved in this fight, they have been suspended, and the white learner still remains at the school. And at a time like this, it is exam time, so emotions running very high.
Sure. So that's the voice of our colleague, Xoli Mngambi, who's an anchor on Newsroom Africa, just giving context to the scenes that are playing out outside the school in Emalahleni. It's the Emalahleni Technical High School. My goodness. Sure, you should have seen that. Literally, the black parents and the white parents were fighting each other. People had cricket bats and they were just attacking each other. There seems to be calm now. I don't see a lot of police officers. I've only counted about 3 police officers. But look, there are a lot of parents, both from these sides. Shoo. 20 minutes before 10 o'clock.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyathela
on 702.
Good morning, Clement. Sorry to change the subject. Please, do you think you could tell me the meaning of the expression hey tada, and also the correct way of saying Soweto? Is it Soweto or Soweto? Thank you so much, Clement. Stays wonderful and laughing as you are.
Thank you for the voice note. All right, so Evil, you're very nutty. So my understanding is it's Soweto, right? Soweto, right? Ndando, am I right? Soweto. If somebody understands it differently, please give us a call. Soweto. Eitada. So that's a form of, oh, by the way, in fact, Vuyo, was it Vuyo, the anchor on SABC? What was his surname again? I forgot. Not Voko. Vuyo Mbuli. Is it Mbuli? Vuyo Mbuli used to say Eitada, actually. Every time on Morning Live. Do you remember that? So, Eitada is a form of greeting. And yeah, this is really how I greet people who even know me in my circle when you call me. That's how I answer my phone. I hope that answers your question. 20 minutes before 10.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyathela
on 702.
Let's go to Benoni now and speak to Tabogo. Tabogo, good morning.
Comment, Ukraine.
Kishab, how are you doing?
Sure. No, man, I want to comment on this, some change of the European model of education.
The curriculum, yeah.
Yeah, the curriculum. What I want to know is, what extent do we change it? Do we change it as far as history is concerned, or do we change all the content entirely? And as far as history is concerned, we always told that us as blacks were never writing. So I'm not sure where we get all the content to fill all these history books. Who comes up with all the information if everything was transferred orally? And who holds the monopoly on on information. Like, who do we tell that this one is right, this one is wrong? Mm. Because if everything was right, because over time, I think history has proven that any truth or any fact becomes more like an opinion if it's not recorded anywhere.
Yeah, but I think we've got black, we've got black people that have recorded some history, Teboho, don't we?
Where? On the rocks?
No, do we not have black people that have written extensively about our history and white people as well that have also recorded history and recorded it appropriately and it's been validated?
Yeah, but who validates that history? Who holds the monopoly or who has the right to validate anything that was transferred orally? That's my question.
Mm.
Anyone can, like, that does depend on qualifications, degrees or anything. Because the people who hold the information are usually people without any form of qualification, one. And two, the people who validate this thing are themselves the people who study under the European model. And in fact, the majority of them went as far as Europe and the entire West and studied and came to South Africa. Then they come and verify and validate the information that we have. That's a problem that I always have.
Okay.
And the authors are generally young for them to be validating this information.
So what are you saying then, Teboho, that we need to start asking questions about the people that have recorded history and ask about whether that is really the true account, whatever they have recorded?
No, what I'm saying is, for us to change the curriculum, you'll obviously have to base it on the opinion of a minister as well as the people backing the minister. So they are the people who will say this curriculum is fine. So whichever minister is in power will come with his or her own people who will suit the current narrative. For me, the history is only changed only to suit the current narrative and usually for political agenda, not for the truth or for the sake of children themselves.
What do you think is the current narrative now? So the education minister has started this work, right, to decolonize the curriculum and the school system as a whole. It's another question to, like, which I asked earlier. Is the ANC government seriously realizing now that our curriculum was very colonial and British? But she has appointed a panel to decolonize the curriculum. What do you think, Teboho, is the current narrative, and what are they trying to achieve with that?
I'm not sure. I think anything that I say would be a lie, because obviously I don't sit in those boardrooms. But what I'm saying is, as far as, for instance, labor was concerned, I think you also touched on this, that there was an element of trade. Our African kings and queens were also involved. They were complicit to this whole slavery thing.
And that history is recorded. And Teboho, that history is recorded. Even when I went when I went to Stone Town, they do tell you about our complicity, and by our I mean some of our ancestors who were involved in that trade, right?
Yes, as much as state capture now, our own black people are involved, and they sell in South Africa to these European giants again. Then in some future they will want to change this current narrative that Europe and the West, they came and captured South Africa. No, come on. Maybe they must just focus on creating jobs instead of changing history and all.
Well, I would want my child to learn about the true history of the continent they come from. And not changing history is also not going to bring about jobs, in fact, Debza. And government can do both, right? We can call on government to create jobs, but we must also call on government to prioritize decolonizing that curriculum so that South Africans understand. They understand their history and they know more about our tenacity as Africans, right? We need to do so much to ensure that our curriculum sufficiently reflects our history and just addresses racial injustices as well. If you agree with what Teboho is raising there, give us a call, please. If you've got a comment on what he's saying, I want to hear from you as well on 011-883-0702. Jan, is it Jan or Jan? Who's calling from Silver Lakes in Pretoria? Jan, hi. All right, Jan, go ahead.
Manyatela, let us be fair. There has been a lot of ignorance from our government since they took over 94 to now regarding our education. Our education in terms of the curriculum is so misplaced in so many levels. It is not aligning with our current affairs of today at all. We can take a technology. Technology has changed so tremendously now. And also when you look at how they teach English, we still taught the Romeo and Juliet. And if people want to do art, let's have a proper channel in terms of which English we should be learning, not to be reading around Romeo and Juliet and Shakespeare at this age in time. How does it add value to us? Coming to the history also. Mm. We are not saying let's wipe the history, but we have to start talking our history also. From whoever benefited into the colonial history, it is their history. Let's put it to the correct department. And then we start also preaching our history to them. That's the reason why we are not getting respected. Because of white kids don't understand exactly where we are coming from. Fortunately enough, when I heard you giving us a clip or the live feed from that technical school
in Mbalenhle,
it's dropping tears because of it coming at the same time. It's contrary to what we are discussing.
Absolutely.
How long are we going to wait to hear people that are referring to us to say, where are we going to get the material? The Bible was written, was translated. We have all these documents that we have that is English and African. Somebody made an effort. Let this country, it's about time to invest into African real stories.
Yeah. I agree with you, Jan. I agree with you. Thank you for calling in, Jan. You know what? I don't know. It just escapes me that when parents go to protest about racism, which is the lived experience of their children, right? So the white parents come to do what? Unless they're joining in and you sympathize and you say, yes, we want the school to act. What, are you coming to then defend the school? On what basis? Or are you coming to say, we are not going to allow you to disrupt us? I just don't understand. Because even with, remember that school? What was that school where the former Reserve Bank governor was also protesting? Cornwall Hill. And then 2 days after the black parents were outside protesting, then there were some white parents who were saying, you know, who had their own placards outside school. I just don't understand that. Why must we talk about black parents protesting, white parents protesting? If you see the visuals I'm looking at in the studio, you could see the black parents were on the other side. The white parents were on the other side. Really? We should be talking, parents are there asking the school to take seriously the issues around race in that particular technicon, not black and white parents coming there to be exchanging blows. It's just so disappointing, really. And it really makes me question our race relations and whether all of us are committed to a one South Africa for all. It makes me really question that. It's 10 minutes before 10.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyathela
on 702.
Good morning, Clement. This is Buitumelo. Listen, I don't know to what extent our current history has been recorded in the lower grades, but I had an opportunity of listening to one of the teachers for grade 12s when they do these on radio assistance of learners who are doing history. The grade 12 history that I heard from that teacher, which is in the current curriculum, is very interesting and is very current. Please find someone from GDE who will actually give more information. But I'm telling you, get a hold of this grade 10 history now. You will see that it's very interesting and is there, it's documented. Thank you.
All right, we'll check it out, man. We'll check it out. Thank you for raising it.
Hi, Clement. While Eitala is primarily a way of greeting, it goes beyond that. It's also an acknowledgement of a person or a being around you. It's an acknowledgement of something good. Sometimes it is even used to appreciate or thank when somebody gives you something. Like, for instance, you can give me a gift and I can say, hey, tada.
Yes.
Tsepo from Pretoria.
Yeah, Tsepo, thanks. From Pretoria. Yeah, look, I sometimes use it also to show appreciation, like not just to greet, but when someone does something and I'll say, hey, tada. Or when I end the call sometimes, right, I'll say, hey, tada. Yeah, someone says, hi, Clement, Soweto is an acronym to Southwestern Townships. It doesn't matter how you pronounce it. That's Ntaoleng. Oh, Ntaoleng, I thought you were Ntaolele. You will remember Ntaolele. from that drama back in the days. Yeah, of course. Soweto or Soweto. We got a voice note, someone asking what is the best way to pronounce it. It's an acronym. So what? This listener says it could be anything. You could pronounce it anyway. Here are some other voice notes.
Hi, Clement. This is Tabako from Vlaaghof. With regards to the June 16 history, all I have to say is, until the lion learns how to ride, the story will always glorify the hunter. That's how it is. This is our struggle. For as long as we are not willing to put down our truth, things will never change. People will never get to know the truth. I mean, the Generation X and Generation Z.
Good morning, Clement. Sandile here from Vredendorp. I heard you talk about the Wittechnische School, Witbank, or Witbank Technical High School. I used to be at that school, matriculated in 2010. I'm not surprised at all by the racial tensions there. When I was there, there were no black teachers at the school, no black admin staff. The only black people that were there were cleaners and gardeners. So these racial tensions at RTS don't really surprise me at all.
Sure, yeah. You see, and this is what you normally hear, right? When you hear these incidents at schools, these racial tensions, and you've got former pupils coming in saying, actually, we're not even surprised. We're not even surprised. This used to be the case, which then makes me question. So what are the other parents coming to do there? Are they here to defend the status quo? Do they want the status quo to continue? Why are we not joining hands and saying we are unhappy with either the transformation of the school, we're not happy with how the school deals with issues around racism, and all of us as black and white parents, we want to see changes. Why can't we just do that? Lyndon, you're calling us from Joburg. Good morning. You want to talk about the curriculum?
Hi, good morning, Clement. It's Lyndon. Yeah, I just want to talk about the curriculum. For me, it's so important that part where we actually have to learn more about each other's history and our local history. We have such a deep and diverse history, and this will actually make us understand each other a bit more. And just coming from myself, I'm almost 40 years old now, and just to think I'm still catching up with local history and learning about the evil things that this King Leopold did, and about the Jewish Holocaust and all these things. So I think it's sort of, we have to learn our local African history and South African history so we can just understand each other a bit to come from and also sympathize with why is this guy acting like that. And sorry, I was just listening to you and this whole racial thing, it actually makes me so emotional because I'm a colored parent who had a colored with my daughter actually going to a bit prejudice. I sent her to an all African Chris, and I promise you, I'm now at a point where I actually want to cry because getting to grade one, bring in the third language, please. We don't need Afrikaans and English. It needs to be there. But please bring in the third language. So you can't find that anywhere. And as soon as we can start speaking each other's tongue a little bit more, it shows respect. And from you, the beautiful thing about the African nation, not black people, the African nation, as soon as I can just greet you a bit in your own language, that already opens the door and it shows what here is how I greet you with all the respect.
And we're embracing one another. Thanks, Lyndon. Yeah, no. Thanks for calling in. You know, it's shocking. Remember last day there's someone who sent us a voice note taking issue with how I say Dumelang at the beginning of the show. And for me, that speaks to that entitlement that the status quo must remain, like greet us in the way we want to be greeted, right? I mean, I must speak English from 9 o'clock until midday. Of course, this is an English medium radio station, but I bring in one little greeting and there are some people who feel touched. Right? They feel, ooh, why? Why are you saying Dumelang? I feel like you don't acknowledge me. And yet I speak the language that you understand for 3 hours. And it's about appreciating one another. It's about you going to learn how to at least strike up a conversation in Zulu, in Sepedi, in in Tsonga. That way, we show that we appreciate the diversity in this country, right? We appreciate the diversity and the cultural mix that is so beautiful in this country. Musa, you're calling us from Randburg. Good morning.
Dumela.
Dumela, Musa.
Legal.
Ragona
legal.
That is so cute, Musa. Are you Zulu?
Thank you very much. My language is not very well, but I am still learning.
That's good. You're learning. Thank you. Thank you, Musa, for learning. We all need to learn.
Thank you. Look, about the curriculum history. I'm living in South Africa for more than 1 year. And I don't know exactly what they are studying our children here. But what I am understanding that a lot of people are frustrated that the curriculum is more Eurocentric instead of teaching Nazi history, right?
Yeah.
Well, I think, of course, you must learn more about your own country, your own geography, your own continent. But that must not be despite of other countries' history, other continents' history, Europe, Asia, Americas, and so on. Because we are living in a complex world. It's all connected. It is not separated, or one thing, what is happening in South Africa will not going to affect United States of America.
Yeah.
No, it's not working like that.
Yeah.
And especially when history, all we know that it's tending to repeat itself.
Absolutely, Musa.
If we don't understand why European countries fight with each other for colonization of Africa, how it happened, why it happened, what was the consequences about the African people, we will don't understand the past.
Yeah, and maybe we'll even repeat the mistakes, Musa. Sorry, I have to cut you there because I'm out of time. But quickly, where are you from, okay, Musa?
I am from Bulgaria.
Oh, Bulgaria. Interesting.
Me, and myself is from a complicated cultural background.
Yeah.
And history helped me a lot to understand who I am, why I am like this, why other people, other communities looking to me like this.
Oh, lovely. Musa, thank you so much for such a beautiful call. Musa is calling us from Randburg.